I'm scared to think about what my life is going to be or what it would be like without him. Hallelujah. He is my sole provider. Hallelujah. And I appreciate him. Hallelujah. I honor my pastor and pastor, Brother Dow. Hallelujah. I thank God for having somebody to have enough love to put up with my cry. Hallelujah. That endures. Hallelujah. And I thank you for being an example. Hallelujah. To all the saints in the house of the Lord, I honor you. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to, I'm sorry, y'all. You've got some lung stuff going on and this. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Psalms 24. Hallelujah. 41 years. 41 years is a long time. Hallelujah. To be standing, serving, submitting, encouraging, everything that God would have for our pastor to do, it's a long time to be doing it, amen? Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I just want to share real quick with you. Hallelujah, what the Lord put in my heart about taking the climb. Just take the climb. Take the climb. I'm here to urge and encourage your spirit to just take the climb. Amen. Our focus verse on this morning is coming from verse number 3, which says what? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands, verse 4, and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity and nor sworn deceitfully. And I think when we think about life in our world that we live in today, everybody's looking for a come up somewhere. Sometimes we can't associate with different people because they may not have the come up that we're looking for. And as I started thinking about this word, I said, God, you know, it is. The flesh is always looking for a way to exert and usurp authority over God, some kind of way. Man and us, we come into this world and God gives us creative ability. And you'll find at the end of everything that we or he allows us to create, we're doing something to exalt this flesh. Look at your life. Look at the decision. Half of the decisions that we're dealing with today, be it good, bad, or indifferent, was because not because we love God, but because our flesh was looking for a come up. I thank and praise God for this word because in the word, he showed me two climbers. And I thought about mountains. Talia, do we have any other pictures of the mountains? And I thought about the mountains because when you hear the word ascend, you think automatically to do what? Come up. I'm going up. I always thought about or imagined some spirit floating out of your body and just floating up into the heavens. But I want to focus on one form of ascension, which means to climb. That means to elevate, to rise, but you got to use your hands and your feet. I want us to think about this. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? We're climbing, but where are we going? We're climbing, we're advancing, we're progressing, but to whom, to where, and what end? When I think about new beginnings, my thought was automatically birthing. 9 months. Biblically, it's a number for birthing. It takes 9 months for a woman to have a child, something to be developed. But we weren't exactly birthing anything, were we? If we were birthing anything, what was it? Just food for thought, things for us to think about. What exactly are we looking for as we climb? And just because you're not physically climbing doesn't mean that you're not climbing. I want us to think about this. Think about your ascension. your climb. I heard Marianne Williamson say, the peak of one mountain is often the base of another. So if we're climbing, do you ever get to the top where you think that top is? I looked at the scripture and I thought about God and how we have been learning about the kingdom of God and the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm talking to the Lord and I'm like, okay, I know you said that, you know, mountains, we can speak to them, right? We're used to that scripture. Speak to the mountain when you have an issue or problem. Said if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed. But in this case, it's like, yeah, let me shift your perspective. Some mountains got to be spoken to and other mountains got to be climbed, which means you got to exert effort. In this case, who shall ascend into the house, into the hills of the Lord? The hills of the Lord is a holy place. I thought about the old school song, there's a highway to heaven, none can walk up there, what? But the pure in heart, who shall ascend? And I thought about that heart thing. All of the words, these words that we've been getting over the years started coming and taking seat in my heart. And it was hard for me to choose. I said, God, I just don't know. But where do you want us to go with this? And he took my mind to Zechariah 4:7, which I had been singing it in a song. I had no idea that God was going to come back and bring that to me. Zechariah 4:7 says, who are you, great mountain, that you should not be brought low? I said, God, save me. In the book of Daniel, there's a tale of two climbers. And when you go home and you read it, I'm going to summarize 4 chapters for you. In the beginning, there was a king. His name was Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim was the son, the oldest son of King Josiah. Josiah was a king that followed hard after God, but his children didn't. And in this book, we find that Jehoiakim has been serving as king for 3 years. And the Lord decides, he says, I'm going to give Jehoiakim over to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a Babylonian king who was corrupt. Babylonia was a place of confusion. But he had some good qualities about him. The creepy thing about it was Babylonia or Babylon represented carnality. He was interested in pushing growth economically for his people. He wanted to make sure they were educated. He wanted to make sure that they made him look good. So you have King Jehoiakim, who was taken, God says that the word says that the Lord gave Jehoiakim over to King Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because Jehoiakim had the word and he tried to destroy it. He didn't want nothing to do with God. He rejected the word. And in Jeremiah 36, the story, it tells the story there, how he didn't like what the prophet was saying, which was Jeremiah at the time. And he sought to burn the word of God because he didn't like what Jeremiah was recording. And the Bible says that the Lord had to give Jeremiah the scriptures all over the word all over again. And so here it is. Israel had a problem. Jehoiakim was the king of Judah, which was a part of Israel. God would bless Israel, and then Israel would get the big head and disrespect God and disobey God, and God would raise up an enemy. And I thought about this. I said, God, are you saying in this season, in this moment, that in times past and even up until now, that the things that we're fighting with could be because we rejected your word somewhere else? It's something for us to think about and to consider. You don't just fall into your stuff automatically, right? Sometimes that flesh is cunning and it's conniving and it's got a plan of its own. And so what happens is we make a decision trying to ascend on our own, and it ends up costing us somewhere else. And so the Bible says, as it goes on, that not only did the Lord turn over King Jehoiakim, what happens is as the Lord turns over the kingdom, there are some Hebrew boys that are put into that. The Hebrew boys was speculated to be about 14 to 17 years old when they're exiled out of their country. And so what happens is Nebuchadnezzar is like, yeah, we ain't taking this anybody. We want noble people. We want kids that are learning. We want kids that's capable of learning. They got to look good. They got to fit a certain criteria. And so in chapter one, we see the exile of the Hebrew boys. They're made to serve and assimilate into the image of or the nation of a king that did not serve God. Chapter two, something starts to happen in chapter two. God starts flooding Nebuchadnezzar's life, his mind with dreams and visions to the point till he's just messed up. I can't sleep. I can't do nothing because these dreams are coming and I can't stop them. And I need somebody to tell me what's going on. See, Nebuchadnezzar starts feeling himself because God gave this nation to him. How many of us have been given things and then we start getting a big head about what God gave us? In this season, if we're going to take the climb, if we're going to embrace new beginnings, we got to come low. He's not changing his word. This is something God has been telling us for a long, long, long time. He's not changing his word. We got to humble ourselves. So by the time we get to chapter two, Nebuchadnezzar is flooded with these dreams. And guess what? He sets out a decree. His haughtiness starts to tell on him. When I start looking at this, I say, good Lord, help me, Jesus. It's just like us. When we get a place in a position, we put demands on other people that we know that they can't fulfill. He was feeling himself. So he said, you know what? I got these dreams and I want all the magicians and all the mighty men and anybody who think they know anything. I need you to come in here and tell me what my dream is. If you're so mighty, if you got it like that, tell me. Tell me what I'm thinking. Tell me what I'm dreaming. Tell me what happened. Tell me. And his people came and he said, like, what are you asking of us? We don't know what you dream. We can't, you know, that's not even possible. We all in the flesh. Nobody knows that. It's crazy how you got people in the flesh that can tell you what to do, but don't know nothing to do themselves. It's wild how we get and link up with people and we have entourages of people that follow us that don't know what's going on no more than we do. And so this king said it upon himself. Okay, then guess what? You can't do what I need you to do, which is an impossible task. You die. Every last one of you be cut in pieces. And so here you have a righteous young man, Daniel, who was operating in the king's court because God put in him and his friends an excellent spirit. The Bible says that they were wise in all wisdom and understanding. They could answer things. And in chapter one, they had a whole conversation with the king at the end. It's really good. So anyway, in chapter two, Daniel goes and he's like, what's going on with all the commotion? And the word gets to him that the king is about to kill all of you guys who were supposed to be serving him. And he's like, what? What's going on? He's about to kill everybody that served in a certain capacity, which happened to fall where Daniel was. And so what ends up happening, long story short, Daniel says, hold up to the captain of the guards. Let me go talk to the king. He talks to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, wait a minute. I don't know what's going on, but if you give me a moment, I can find out for you. And so Daniel set himself to seek the face of God. He went back and he told his colleagues who also helped him seek the face of God to find out what the dream Nebuchadnezzar had. Do you think God answered them?
Yes.
Absolutely. But this is what I love. And I saw Daniel take the climb right here. He began to praise the God of his salvation. The Bible says that Daniel stopped right there. Once God gave him, the Bible says that at the nighttime, the Lord gave him a vision and told him everything that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about. And at that moment, he began to honor and give God praise. He began to glorify God. He says, nobody is like you, Father. Nobody can do what you do. Read it for yourself in chapter two. And so what happens? He goes to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I know your dream. What I saw there was that when you take an ascend, when you take the climb, it's important that you go a certain kind of way. Why is it important? Because if you climb on your own, you might have power to do it, but if you wait and go the way God tells you, you get authority with that power. Big difference. There's a difference between power and having authority. Big difference. And I'll share it later on as we go. So when you go to later on in verse 2, you see Daniel and the king is all psyched and happy about what's going on. Nobody could tell me what that dream was. Nobody but Daniel serves a God. And I perceive that a holy God is in him. Can the same be said about us? When we get in the midst of trouble, because Daniel was not absolved of being killed. He was working under the king, and God allowed it for his reason. So that meant what everybody else would have got, Daniel would have got, the Hebrew boys would have got. But because God stood up in him, it made Nebuchadnezzar fall back, because a holy God was working and resting in Daniel. When you get to chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he got all of this praise for God. And you know how we do. God is good, blah, 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 blah. And then by the time chapter 3 hit, he right back climbing up in his own self. He goes and he's like, yeah, let me do this right quick. Let me make a 90-foot statue. Because I'm just so great and I'm so grand. I flow like that. I got all of this. I got that. Everything that you see was gotten by my hand. He exalted himself. And he says, you know what? I'm going to erect this 90-foot statue. And this 90-foot statue, when you see it and you hear the music go off, I need you to bow down. Everybody pretty much knows the story about that. And so what happens, the Hebrew boys, which was Daniel's friends, they decided not to. And then you see God rescue the Hebrew boys. Why? Or how? Because there's a fourth man in the fire with them, right? Because the boys get thrown into the fire. I thought about so many things. And then when I get to chapter 4, there's something happening. Nebuchadnezzar is praising God again. Oh, if anybody don't serve the God of Daniel and nobody serves the God of the Hebrew boys, they should be gone. They should be killed. Kill him. Drunk with power. He didn't know what to do with himself. But the scary thing was God gave it to him. God gave him the power. And so I begin to see we're going to either climb one or two ways. We're either going to go up in holiness, or you're going to go down but go up in unrighteousness. There's a lot of oxymorons in this text, because I said, God, you know, what's wrong with us? What's going on with us? So we see chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar is back at it. The Hebrew boys, he's praying. He says, hey, I'm sending out this decree. Don't nobody do nothing without these boys being hit. You know, this, that, and again. You know how we pump up people. Don't mean none of it. Because he still thought he was the man. So by the time he go to verse 4, this is the cool part. And I would like to read this if you would give me the time to. Can you put verse 4 up? Maybe y'all could read it with me and we get through it a little bit faster. Hallelujah. Verse 4 from the King James Version. Read with me. Ready? All right. Ready, set, go. Nebuchadnezzar, king unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God has wrought towards me. How great are his signs? This is Nebuchadnezzar talking. And how mighty are his wonders? His kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might know, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream, but they did not make the interpretation unto me. Sorry, they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And before him, I told him the dream. Oh, Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. So he's giving a recap of this encounter with Daniel and his friends before. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. So Nebuchadnezzar is having a different dream now. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into the heavens, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and let the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tinder of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This is the matter of the decree, by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom. Will and setteth it up over the basis of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. For the spirit of the holy God is in thee. It goes on and he says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, which means Baal protects me. So the king had his name changed when he came in the beginning, just to demean Daniel, and his friends got a new name, just to strip him of his identity. So then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was a stone for 1 hour after Nebuchadnezzar tells him this dream. For 1 hour, he's sitting there and he's speechless. And so the Bible says that the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. See, Nebuchadnezzar had a little arrogancy about him, a whole lot. He didn't even understand. He's telling a dream as if it has no effect on him at all. And so let's go and see what happened. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to thee that those that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight of all the earth, whose trees, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon all the branches, or upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw the watcher, a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew in the heaven, because he wanted to make sure that he ain't missed nothing that the king said, right? Don't we want to do that sometimes? You want to make sure you're hearing things when your life is on the line. Hallelujah. And so it goes on and it says, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King, that they may drive thee from men, and that your dwelling place will be in or be with the beast of the field, and that they may make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump, that kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. And so wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sin and by righteousness, break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If it be a lengthening of thy tranquility, if you want peace. Now, this was interesting. I know it was a lot to read, and we're not used to that. But, you know, we got to take the word of God more seriously. And as we read the word of God, God will begin to unfold different things. There's nothing in the Old Testament that Christ did not confirm in the New Testament. I thought this was important, and I felt led to read it. I'm going to continue because this was something that I think the Lord is warning us and encouraging us to step away from. So as we go on, Daniel chapter, what is it, verse 28? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And the Bible says, check out 31. Can y'all see it up there? Woo, this what got me. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is it spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee, as Daniel interpreted it for him. We're talking about a year later. Hold on. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass thee over, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. In the book of Psalms, we hear God says that power, he said, I've spoken once, but twice have I heard this, that what power belongs to God. Skill, ability, talent, everything that we see, we think we can do. The time where he wants back what he gave. Let's go. Let's see what happened. Hold on. This was, as I said, this is the kill part right here. Verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat what? As oxen, and his body was wet with what? Until when his hairs were grown like the eagle's feathers, and the nails were like bird's claws. And at the end of days, this is Nebuchadnezzar now, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he do according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say his hand or say unto him, what do you do? Nobody. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in the kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, who all whose works are true, and his judgment, and those that walk in pride, he will abase. I know that was a lie, but we got to take it in. We got to lean into, I don't know what's coming. I'm not even going to lie. Our pastor has been warning us and telling us for a long time. God has been pleading with us to come low. He has been pleading with us sometime to come low. I loved Daniel's response in all of this, because the word says that an excellent spirit was in him. And guess what? He didn't seek to exalt himself or excuse himself, because he could have. He took the climb. We've been learning about the Sermon on the Mount. We've been hearing it. But one thing that God put in my heart that brought me right back to the beginning was the Beatitudes. If you want to be supremely blessed, you're going to have to take the knee. If we want supreme to be so, that's what Beatitudes mean, to be supremely blessed, divinely blessed, we're going to have to baruch, which means to take a knee, bend over. It's the mission to God. I don't care. Fat Joe can say it all day long. Fat Joe is a rapper, and he said, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. I said, that's Nebuchadnezzar in the fullest. The spirit of pride is running rampant in our land. It's running rampant. It tells you you can do whatever you want to do. It's not, God does not have a problem with elevation. He doesn't. Psalm 75 and 6 says what? For promotion does not come from man. Promotion doesn't come from the north, the south, or the east. It's God that sets up one and put it down another. We heard Daniel say that. If we're going to embrace new beginnings, we got to do things differently. I was too haughty the last 30 years I was here. The last 52 I was on earth, I was too haughty. I was thinking my own stuff. What do you want? If you don't want the climb, you want death. The climb is representational. It's an oxymoron for, look, the way God operates is not like man. If you want to be elevated, you go down.
Amen.
If you want to be elevated in the spirit, you go down. We read in Psalms 24 what he said. He's looking for people that's going to humble themselves and come into his presence. Not go in and seek who they can get. Yeah, I need you ride with me, blah, blah, blah. He's not looking for that. He's looking for somebody that's going to live holy. With everything, we're in the midst of a world that's unrighteous. Everything about the world is dark. Will you be one? He says, who? Who indicates that? I don't know. Even though I am all knowing, I'm looking for something I have not identified yet. Somebody that's willing to take the climb. If we're going to take the climb, we got to come low. Ministry, our families, we marry people, we do stuff, we gravitate to this, that, and the other, also that they can come and puff us up. And when they're no longer, these things are feasible and it's not puffing up my flesh, I don't want nothing else to do with it. We want position, we want placement, but we fail to understand that there we go, Sister Darlene again, with that assignment thing. There's an assignment attached to it. And you'll die if you don't have the grace to deal with it. See, this is the thing that tripped me out. I said, God, you are amazing. My spirit man was leaping, because we hear about the Torah and we see God, Christ wrestle with the religious people. We see him wrestling with the ones who, the scribes and the Pharisees, the church people that know the word. That's his wrestle. That was his biggest and primary enemy. The ones that knew that they knew that they knew. But what exactly did they know? See, when I found out, and it blessed me some kind of good. Hallelujah. I feel it now, even in my heart. This is why we have to understand that Christ is coming. was necessary. When you begin to understand the work that he did, not for everybody, but when you get close to him and you make it personal, it's going to keep you from doing a whole bunch of stuff. If you will take the climb, guess what? Everybody ain't going to want to go with you. And you got to make sure that you're okay with it. In the natural sense, when you walk on mountains, there's a portion of a mountain that snakes can't live. It's called the snake line, which means as I ascend, as I take the climb, guess what? A whole bunch of unrighteousness can't go. A whole bunch of bad habits that I got can't go. But God is faithful in that what the law cannot do, Christ fulfilled it. Here's where it got good to me, Josh. Straight up. I'm looking. This is where it got good and it blessed my soul. See, people died under the law because when you didn't obey the law, it required a punishment for you. Which means if you took the climb, you won't die because you ain't gonna make it on your own. But what I found out was when grace came and Christ fulfilled that calling that God placed on him, he decided to take a knee for me. He decided to submit for me. He decided, and even though it's for the whole world, I made it personal because that meant that as I take the climb, Josh, as I take the climb, if I make a mistake, grace covers me. It trusted me. And it puts me back right where I needed to be. And then the word says, though a just man falls 7 times, he's not utterly cast down.
Hallelujah.
Take the climb. Grace is already prepared for us when we make an honest mistake. Take the climb. Embrace the new beginning. Get down on the knee. Get down on both of them if you got to. Take the climb. Come subject. Every beatitude, when I looked at the words meek, righteous, all of them had a significant definition to it, which meant you got to come low on either one of them. You still got to take a knee if you want to be supremely blessed.
Yeah.
How many people? I can't worry about you. I'm just asking a question. How many people want to be supremely blessed?
Yeah.
Beyond, I got to take this off. Good Lord. I found out that God, when we suffer, in James chapter 4, let me tell you something, that'll rock your whole entire world. I read the first scripture because we don't want to suffer nothing, right? I don't want to suffer, it's more hurt. And I don't want to suffer nothing because, you know, blah, blah, blah. If we want to embrace the Beatitudes, it's going to cause us to suffer in the flesh. I don't want to suffer nothing. It's too hard. It's going to be hard if we go to hell every day for the rest of our lives. Might as well take the lighter road. We might as well take the lighter road. In James chapter 4, he says, those that suffer in the flesh have ceased to sin. That thing blessed my whole life. I said, what? I sat up, I was asking God this. My mom was dying in front of us. And the day that she died, I just kept hearing this breathing coming out of her that was just wild. I was like, I ain't never heard nothing like this. And then I got upset with God. Can I just tell the truth and be honest? I felt the Lord, I felt some kind of way. I said, God, what's the purpose of this suffering? Like, you, God, you can take her at any time. I was just being dragged out. And he said so clearly to me, I hit my knees, he said, what you see is suffering, I see is sacred.
Hallelujah.
And when he said that, I didn't understand what he meant at that moment. But now I understand a little bit better. You know why? Because if I'm suffering something, I ain't out there doing nothing, I ain't got no business doing it. See, when I learn obedience after the things I suffered, I ain't do that thing no more. You gotta make up your mind. A double-minded man is unstable and in all of his ways. So which way you rocking? Where you going?
You got to make a choice. If you're a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy to God. That's what his word said. He also came along and said, guess what? If you live or you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, I'll give you life. What is that reward? What is it? That reward, because he said it, I'll be your re-reward. Yeah. There's some things that you get in God that the world just don't get. There are people right now that's trying to figure out how you lose your mom and your best friend, your grandmama is dying and your grandson, all within a span of 6 months, and still be able to serve God. Because you know why? He is my peace. He is my understanding. I might not know everything, but I know that he is good to me, and I ain't got nowhere to go outside of him. Make up your mind. Where you gonna be? Because I'm gonna tell you this. You make your bed in hell, he's gonna be there. And if we sleep on the glory, he's gonna be there. We want a new word. We want a whole bunch of new this. But God's like, bounce back. Step back and redo the things that I've already given you to do. Do your first works. If you don't know him, come to him and get to know him. Do your first works over. We want to be exalted. We want to rise to power. But my question is, who's elevating you? Because I heard in Matthew that the enemy took Christ. And he elevated. He took him to a high place. That's what the word said. And showed him the glory of this world. That's what the word said. So my question is, who's elevating us? You'll know whether or not I'm taking a climb is if my attitude is different. You'll know me by my fruit. Not my words, my fruit. When you get close up in my life, Michaela, you'll see different things that wasn't there before. Right? Because your family be up in your face more than anybody else. But my question is, if you're going to take the climb, who are you going to climb for? Only those that got clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul unto vanity, empty things, foolish things, things that won't benefit us in the kingdom. That's why the word says, set your affections where? On the things above, not beneath, because the things below are temporary. They won't, listen, all the people that has transitioned ain't, they ain't take no diamond, no nothing, no bracelet, no perfume, that's my thing. None of the stuff that we invest in. The only thing you're going to take is your walk or your lack thereof. So what is your walk with Christ looking like? Daniel was an amazing young man. I've seen Daniel, but let me tell you this, righteousness was in him. And he spoke the truth no matter who he was in the face of. He spoke the truth even though it was getting ready to cost him his life. See, God gave him authority to defy what the king said. The captain didn't even obey the king because he was coming to kill him. He said, stop, wait a minute. And the king obeyed that. What I loved about this thing is it showed me that, you know what? He elevated and never asked God for one elevation. It was automatic. God laid in his lap every elevation that he needed. But Daniel's heart was postured towards God in the midst of an evil and a wicked and a perverse nation. What's your heart posture? I can't determine that. That's between you and God. I'm just here to deliver this. And I knew we took a long time getting there, but you know what? That thing messed with me. Let me tell you, it was messing with me a couple of Sundays ago. Now, last week, with the Spirit talking and saying, I'll be this day, I said, Father, I was stunned for about 2 hours after service. Couldn't stop thinking about that thing. We serve a God that loves us, and he wants us to make it in. It's going to be hard to take the climb. Think about people that climb rocks and all of that stuff. Most of them don't have nothing that's trying to save their life. You people gonna learn and excel, right? You learn as you go up. You take what you know about God and you go And as you go, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about these things. He'll take care of us. And we have to begin to trust that. Every time God asks us, we done lied to God. How many times? God, if you get me out of this, I won't do it again. God, just help me this one time. God, if you help me, I promise you. Blah, blah, blah. God, don't let me have AIDS. That was my prayer time or two. God, if you help me, don't let me be pregnant. God, if you don't do this, God, just help me. And he showed up every time. And yet, I'm still feel like I'm breaking down to ground zero because I haven't made up my mind. And we say, we use these cliches, we comment that God is good. But is he? He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You know, we're not batting on 100, but you know, it's the heart posture, Sister Ray. It's the heart posture. I fall, but he's faithful and just. God is an amazing God. Read these scriptures, like go back and read it for yourself, y'all. I couldn't even condense it the way that I wanted to, but it was so much in that. He's encouraging us, guess what? Walk humble. You got what you think you wanted. You got what you think you, everything that you asked almost God for, he gave it. By loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Yes.
I'm leaving you without an excuse.
Yes.
But at the same time, don't think that he's a fool or a dummy or somebody slack that's going to let us have our way about things. There is a day of reckoning coming for all of us. And we have to make sure that we've done everything that we can. The word of the Lord says, the hour comes when no man is going to be able to do no work. I think we're fastly approaching that hour. God is calling out to each and every one of us every day we wake up. Will you try it again? Will you take the climb, regardless as to who's laughing at you, talking about you, side-eyeing you? We take the climb for foolish stuff because we don't want to be alone. We jump on somebody else's mountain because we don't want to climb by ourselves. When from the very beginning, Christ told us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Just learn. As you elevate, guess what happens? I thought about this thing. This blessed me too. It's a lot. Whenever I was going to share, you know, we can talk about it or I just keep it for myself. Strange things happen when you elevate, when you begin to ascend. There was one person that I could think to right off the bat of my top of my head that God called them. One was Moses. Did not Moses see some strange things once he elevated? He saw fire burning out of a bush. He saw the backside of God. We're talking about the backside. We ain't saying the whole full measure of God. He would have died. But just him catching a glimpse of God changed his life forever. The Bible said his countenance was so radiant till he had to put a veil over his face because he went into the presence of God. I'm trying to have that kind of experience.
Close to it, not real close, but you know, as close as I can get.
The second person was Elijah. God called him to the mountains to speak to him. So don't think it's strange when people start looking at you all simple because you ain't going the way that they go. You got to have some grit about you. If you're going to walk this walk, you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to leave people with their opinions, their choices. Let them be wrong about you. You don't got to answer. Let them think whatever they want to think. Because you know the God that you're serving, or you're getting to know him. Take the climb. Christ was transformed on the mountain. Is that not a strange thing? Maybe we're going to do some stranger things in the days to come. Seriously, when we first got into ministry, we were seeing all kinds of strange stuff. I'm praying that the Lord allow us to see that again, because I'm telling you, what it did, it put the fear of God in us. That's something that's lacking in the household of faith. We don't have a fear of God. Let me tell you something. I was sharing with Pastor. I said, Pastor, I really would like to see. There was a time anybody could come up and do praise and worship. Whoever was available to do it, desired to do it, do it. And you know what? We operated in a fear because we knew that the Spirit of God didn't have a problem calling you out. Get your act together. Sit yourself down. You in your flesh. fall out, whatever the case may be. People getting whippings, all kinds of stuff going on. It was a strange thing, but the Spirit of God was there. And guess what? Most of us ain't have a whole big bunch of issues like we do now. What happened? I pray that the Spirit of the Lord bless you. He blessed me. It's a whole lot more, but God is good. He is good. Take the climb. Just take it. You're going to take it. Be vulnerable. He told Moses, if you're going to come up here, take off your shoes, for the place where you stand on is holy ground. You got to be vulnerable. Be willing to be able to go to God and say, God, I messed that up real good. You know, I was just a hating, you know. They say the N word, but just hating. We don't want to talk to God about that, but he knows it anyway. Why hide it? He's the only one that can fix us, right? Okay. So I pray that the Spirit of the Lord has blessed you. God bless you. And that's all I have in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.